And these rail cars are to be used to transport civilians to all these already built concentration camps across America. And so Gunderson's another one of these companies that uses mind-controlled slaves. I'm speaking with firsthand knowledge on that because I've spoken to some of the program multiples that work at Gunderson. Another corporation that comes to my mind right off the bat is the big corporate conglomerate Disney, Capital Cities ABC. You know, the three of them went together, made themselves a nice big corporate conglomerate. They produce porn and they do some other activities with programmed multiple slaves.
Now, just getting back to ARCO, we're going to actually be interviewing Nick Begich in a future show and talking about the HEART Project in particular, and I understand there are mind control elements to that project in particular, but the information you found is, in addition to that, that they have been using mind control trauma-based conditioned slaves as well?
Yes, right. His book doesn't talk about mind-controlled slaves being used by ARCO. His book is about this technology that they are installing in Alaska,
mm-hmm.
which is a Star Wars-type technology that works in the atmosphere
right.
and manipulates things electronically. Electromagnetic radiation.
Yeah, it's a huge antenna array that shoots high-frequency energy into
the
ionosphere.
One of the things that HARP can do, besides communicate with satellites, it can actually change the weather, and it can also manipulate the way people think in a geographic area that's being hit by its electromagnetic radiation.
Right, because one of the side effects apparently is extra low-frequency energy that is reflected back to Earth, which is the frequencies that our brain operates on.
Exactly.
And what typically would these companies use mind control slaves for?
Sensitive projects that have to be kept under wraps by the New World Order. For instance, I mentioned the production of rail cars to haul civilians to concentration camps. I mean, our government's kept their concentration camp project pretty low key.
Mm-hmm. And so these people would be used to work on these projects and in the company ensuring that they don't talk about it outside.
Right.
Now, you spoke of the Illuminati being an extension of the mystery religions, and I wonder if you could tell our listeners what were the mystery religions and what was their role in history?
Okay. You've asked two questions there. First, what are the mystery religions? And then, what was their role in history? One of the people that is well worth quoting, his name's Manly P. Hall. And he is both a grandmaster in the Illuminati and a grandmaster in the Freemasons. And in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, he said that the mystery religions were the channel through which light to mankind was disseminated. Okay, and for those that are interested in looking that up, that's on page 29. But anyway, so what were these mystery religions? Manly P. Hall is telling us that they were organizations that are disseminating light. The mystery religions claimed to the world that, when I use the word claimed, I'm referring to the ancient world. They claimed to the ancient world that they had gnosis, the special revelation knowledge that would help enlighten and save people. And they claimed to people that by joining them and then going through secret rituals that you would elevate yourself. And they claim that you would become divine, or that you'd reunite with your divine self if you went through their secret rituals and then got to the highest, deepest levels of their secrets. That's what they were telling people on the outside. There's very many, and there's a lot of different ways to look at a phenomenon, and I want to bring in a couple other angles of looking at it. First is I want to make a comment here that Swinburne Clymer, Swinburne Clymer was a high-ranking Freemason and a Rosicrucian leader. He said that there was a secret body that ruled and controlled all the various ancient mystery religions in the ancient world. He's talking about in Europe and Egypt and Babylon and clear over to India. And you can read this claim of his in his book, Ancient Mystic Oriental Freemasonry, on page 84 and 85. Well, I agree with him, and what he's referring to here, this one secret body that ruled and controlled all these different various mystery religions, what that was what we call today the Illuminati. The Illuminati is the continuation of that secret controlling body. Freemasonry is the outer symbology of the ancient mystery religions. But if you want the hardcore rituals of the ancient mystery religions, then those are the ones that are performed by the Illuminati. Now, the next side to your two-part question was what was the role in history? They played an exceptionally important role in history. First, if one thinks about the power that kings have, who are kings dependent on? Kings must work through other people, and they're dependent upon their advisors, and they're dependent on their financiers. You can't have a king going off and making a war unless he has money. So he's dependent on those financiers. The financiers are dependent on trade and production of goods. And where the secret societies, the mystery religions were secret societies, where they had so much power is that they controlled the trade guilds that had the trade secrets on how to produce the different goods. For instance, the art of making armor, or the art of making a longbow, or the art of making a Venetian warship, you know, or getting closer to home. The roots of Freemasonry go back to the Masonic Builders Guilds, and the architectural knowledge to design and build a cathedral was controlled by trade guilds, which were controlled by these mystery religions, these secret societies. So kings, you could be a king of a country, but you were still under the control of these mystery religions and secret societies. The man who supposedly converted Christianity, or converted the Roman Empire over to Christianity, was the head of the Mithra mystery religion of his day. So they have played an extremely powerful, important part in history. They have controlled the priesthood and the trade guilds, but also there's a couple ways that they have played a continuous role in history, in that they have guided human endeavors, because they have these the Illuminati have. The mystery religions have been what they call the keepers of the great plan. And I'm not just making that, that's just not my own opinion. Manly P. Hall, who, as I mentioned, was an Illuminati kingpin, in at least one of his books, he goes into how the mystery religions were the keepers of the great plan to bring in this great new world order.
And so what was this great plan? This was the details.
Part of it goes back to the idea of the golden age or the millennium. And that's an important concept for me to talk about, because, and I'll be stepping on a few people's toes here, because your Christians are really unaware of the where their concept of the millennium came from. They think that it comes from the Bible, but if they go back historically, they'll see that William Miller, who started the Adventist movement, he started talking about a millennium. William Miller was a high-ranking Freemason, and he predicted that Christ would return in 1844. Well, the question is, did Christ return in 1844? Well, most people, because we have a limited perspective on things, would say, no, he didn't. Well, but there was a man called the Bab who appeared in Persia, and he said, I am Christ, and he started the Baha'i religion. He fulfilled William Miller's prophecy. And remember, William Miller was a Freemason? Well, the Freemasons were the ones that introduced the Baha'i religion to America, and they did it through the Chicago Masonic Temple around the turn of the centuries. And if you know about the Baha'i religion, you'll know that they're committed to a one-world government, a new world order, and a one-world religion. Anyway, there was this Masonic Oriental Order of the Magi, and they were the hardcore group within the Chicago Masonic Temple who started the Baha'i religion in this country. These are the kind of things that I try to expose so that people see how this all interconnects. There's a very brilliant man, James H. Billington. He was the librarian of the Library of Congress, and he wrote a book, Fire in the Minds of Men. And the Illuminati didn't realize what he was doing. He kind of blindsided them, because he was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, so he was one of them. You know, he was somebody, they thought he was one of theirs. And this book, Fire in the Minds of Men, goes through, and it talks about where the word revolution came from, which came from the occult societies, and the word revolution, which we use today to mean armed rebellion, it didn't have that meaning in the beginning, but the way it began to be used to mean armed rebellion, to overthrow the old order and establish something new, was because the occult societies, like the Freemasons, who have been behind all of the revolutions of modern history from the American Revolution on, including the American Revolution, have all been created by the Freemasons and the Illuminati, all of them. And he goes back in and he traces how all these revolutions were started by this occult elite. But anyway, back to what I was saying, the term revolution came from the occult idea that we were going to revolve ourselves back to the Golden Age. So there's this great quest for the Golden Age, this millennium, millennialism. And that's what communism's about. You'll look at the early founders of communism, and they were trying to revolve us back through revolution to the Golden Age that had been lost.
So what was their idea of what a Golden Age consisted of in terms of humans living?
Socialized, communistic-type society. This is why when you read Masonic prophets like H.G. Wells, who wrote a number of books on how the New World Order could be brought about, when you read these people, they're the Fabian socialists, etc., who have all these detailed plans. It's always for a socialistic, communistic-type utopia.
But with a fascist leadership, it seems.
Yes. Yeah. On the surface, it sounds really hunky-dory. It sounds really great. But it ends up more like Animal Farm of George Orwell.
Mm. Now, I'd like to also talk about what the relation of intelligence groups such as the CIA, the DIA, and the MI6, as you mentioned, to the Illuminati. What's the relationship there?
Okay. There's a very close relationship. You'll notice that, for instance, like on MI6, for the first period of their history, and they came into existence about the turn of the century, and for the first few decades, they hired only women that came from these elite Illuminati families to work in MI6. So that if you were a female working at MI6, you were referred to as Queenie. And they really were Illuminati queens. If we go back and look at who set up these organizations, you know, who's run these organizations, look at the CIA, for instance. People that understand what the Council of Foreign Relations is all about and how that's an Illuminati front will understand better what I'm talking about. But you look at Dulles, McCone, Helms, Schlesinger, Bush, Turner, Casey, you know, you just go down your list of who were directors of the CIA, and they were members of the Council of Foreign Relations. Not only that, but they were members of other organizations that tie in that are Illuminati fronts. Turner was a Rhodes Scholar, which is an entry point for the Illuminati, tied to in one of my previous books, The Top 13 Illuminati Bloodlines, I go into how the Astors helped found the Rhodes Scholars. And Casey and, let's see, McCone, both of them were Knights of Malta. Mm-hmm. You go in and look at the membership of the Knights of Malta, 50% black nobility. I'm talking about black as in the black Guelph European aristocratic bloodline. The Black Guelphs were very powerful bloodlines that have controlled Europe for many centuries. And so here you've got, you know, McCone and Casey being part of the Knights of Malta. Let's see. General Walter Bedell Smith, who was head of the CIA early in its, you know, he back there from 50 to 53 was working in U.S. intelligence. He was one of the co-founders of the Bilderbergers. Hmm. Of course, again, I have to explain, well, who are the Bilderbergers? You go back and look at the Bilderbergers, and you'll find Prince Bernhard, who's Illuminati. He was chairman, the original chairman of the Bilderbergers, and one of the late chairmen of the Bilderbergers was Order of St. John, which is Protestant version of the Knights of Malta. But this director, Peter Rupert Lord Carrington, he was a director of a number of the Rothschilds organizations, like their Rio Tinto Zinc Corporation. And he was a member of the Order of the Garter, which is very significant. He was also a member of the Order of Osiris. The Order of the Garter is one of the organizations, one of the primary organizations that the Illuminati has given the responsibility to be in charge of the plans to bring in the New World Order and to make and to give continuity from one generation to the other. The Order of the Garter is extremely powerful. In fact, just a little aside here, your coat of arms and all of this is all controlled by the Order of the Garter. If you've ever gone in and looked at heraldry, you'll know how important that is to these elite families. And the people that are in charge of heraldry is the Order of the Garter, which is set up in Covens of 13 groups of 13. That's their organizational structure. The Bilderbergers is also set up in groups of 13. The inner committee is a committee of 13.
Now, Henry Kissinger has been a member of the Bilderbergers a prominent member of that group. And what is his involvement in the Illuminati, to your awareness?
He has been very prominent in implementing a lot of what they have wanted done. I don't know that he himself is a member, but he's a member of MI6. He's been a member of P2 Freemasonry. He's been involved with a lot of things. Henry Kissinger is certainly a big player for them to implement their agenda. I do not know whether he's an actual member within the Illuminati or not, but he's sure been a big player to. And in fact, one day I listened to Henry Kissinger speaking, and he said, "We will get a new world order. We may not get it in our generation. If we do not get it in our generation, we will get it in the next generation." In other words, you know, we're just going to keep trying. And that's what the Order of the Garter has been assigned to do. And so a lot of times when we look at these different intelligence groups like the KGB and the CIA, we think, well, we're looking at two groups that are fighting a secret war, a covert war against each other. However, that's only what we're meant to see. And an example of what I'm getting at, there's a recent book out which is really good. It's by a Colonel Corsell. It's entitled Day After Roswell. In his book, which is just eye-opening in many ways, in fact, it may be hard to get after a little while because there seems to be some movement to kind of suppress it. In his book, Day After Roswell, he talks about how the CIA and the KGB are essentially one organization. And this was back in the 50s. And he was tailed by CIA agents. Even though he's a colonel in the U.S. Army, he's got the CIA spying on him, trying to find out what he's doing. And he has to keep secrets from the CIA. Well, I had an acquaintance who's come by whose father was high up in the CIA, and he said when he was a teenager, one day his father came by and dropped a bombshell on him that he couldn't even understand what his father was talking about. His father said, just out of the blue, that the Cold War is a hoax. And, of course, this teenager who had bought into the appearances that the common people are supposed to accept was really confused. He didn't understand. I mean, that's what the CIA supposedly was about, was fighting the communists, you know, and now his father's telling him that it's all a hoax. And he said it took him years to understand what his father was secretly referring to. So we see these different groups, and they appear to be different teams, but it's sort of like coming up to a football field and seeing two teams playing each other. You can't automatically assume that they're not from the same school. It may be a scrimmage or an inter-varsity game. So when we're looking at the CIA and the KGB, they are indeed on the same team. And when you go back in and look at who set these organizations up, you'll and see that hidden hand of the Illuminati setting them up. Then a person becomes aware of just really what the bigger picture is. You look at people within MI6. You'll see Lord Victor Rothschild way up there at the top running things. You'll see people like Admiral Sir Hugh Sinclair. Sinclair family is one of these families. MI5, which is internal security for Britain, their first director general for many years was Major General Sir Vernon Keel. He was a Freemason. And a number of other director generals of MI5 have also been Freemasons, and also have been tied to these other organizations I've mentioned, like their director during World War II of MI5 was of that Knights of Grace of St. John, which is, you know, the Protestant version of the Knights of Malta. You could go on and on showing the overlap and the connections. I think that a good way, if somebody wanted to investigate this further, might be to investigate Dulles, Alan Dulles, who was DCI of the CIA from 53 to 61. And you'll see his role prior to World War I in working with Hitler, in working with the international financiers, the bankers, these Illuminati kingpins. You'll see that there was a lot of hidden things about this man, and you'll see his connections to the elite.
And certainly the information about the CIA facilitating the flight of Nazi war criminals to North America. He was certainly involved in that.
Yeah. And you know, Dulles was the man that the Illuminati used to inform Hitler that the financiers would support him in his bid for power. Hmm. He was the guy that brought the good news to Hitler. Hey, you can go for it. We'll finance you. Anyway.
I'd like to talk about another CIA director who was actually recently in Toronto accepting an honorary degree at the University of Toronto, and that's George Bush. And his affiliation with Skull and Bones as well. I wonder if you could talk about that.
Skull and Bones is an entry point into the Illuminati. There are a number of these different researchers have noticed the Skull and Bones, but there's a lot of other organizations that people that are entry points. I mentioned the Rhodes Scholar, and then there's the group in Oxford. There's a whole series of different fraternal organizations. The Skull and Bones is not the only one, but that's the one that George Bush joined. You got Scroll and Key and Brazilius and some other fraternal organizations. And one of the things that he did in his initiation ceremony into that organization was to lie in manure and recount all of his sexual exploits.
I understand that's a kind of initiation ritual for all members of Skull and Bones. Is that correct?
Right.
We've been listening to part 4 of an interview with Fritz Springmeier about mind control. And in this interview, Fritz has claimed, in addition to the various intelligence and military groups, that Hollywood and the music industry and the corporate world are using mind control. Fritz is a researcher of the Illuminati and mind control and co-author of such books as The Top 13 Illuminati Bloodlines and The Illuminati Formula Used to Create an Undetectable Total Mind Control Slave. Stay tuned next week on the International Connection for part 5 of this interview, and we'll be also beginning an interview with Cisco Wheeler, former Illuminati family mind control slave and co-author of the previously mentioned books. Tapes of this radio series are available at the office of CKLN at 380 Victoria in Jorgensen Hall on the Ryerson University campus, and tapes are $8 each, and the printed transcripts are now available as well, and there's catalog listing all of the shows that are available. You've been listening to CKLN 88.1. Coming up next, Aquí Nuestra America.